Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stage Right, the show that looks at the lack of conservative voices in theater and asks, why? With your host, Rocky Benisher.
One of my birds is very noisy today, so I have a feeling it's going to be a noisy show. I do hope that it's a show where everybody can hear me for the entire 30 minutes, because we have had nothing but technical difficulties. I was kicked off the air, and maybe that's a good thing, but I was kicked off the air 2 minutes ago, and I scrambled to get us back live. So we'll see. Last week's show was a disaster for that reason. Only so much of this I'm going to take, folks, before I find another avenue to deliver this message. But anyway, welcome everybody to Stage Right. This is Rocky Benisher. I'm here every Sunday at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time for a half an hour of Stage Right, which is a show that seeks the conservative voice in theater. There's some out there. We know we've talked to them, but they're few and far between. So we want you to get in on the action. We know there's conservatives out there. My audience has grown, and we've got conservative writers and thinkers out there listening. And we'd like you to call in, and our number is 347-884-9659. Once again, that's 347-884-9659. Give us a call and tell us what's on your mind about conservative theater or conservatism in the arts themselves. You can also write to us at Stage Right Audio 1. That's Stage Right Audio 1. It's all one word and the number 1 rather than writing it out. StageRightAudio1@gmail.com. Couple of endorsements today. One is my old friends at Xander Business Group. We talk about them every time we're on the air, almost every time. They support us. We support them. They provide social media monitoring and online risk assessments for your child's online presence. So many things are new on the boy, I'm really great at speaking, huh? That's probably my forte. So many new applications are out there. I heard about another one the other day, Shutter something. Maybe somebody was just telling me to shutter my mouth. But all these things, Snap something, I don't know what they are. But here's what I do know. These things can get your children into trouble. You don't know what they're posting out there on any of these Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook. Right? Facebook seems passé now. If you don't know what they're doing out there and you don't know the kind of trouble they could get in and the kind of things that can come back to haunt them, maybe not now, but a little later in life, because the internet never forgets. It's so important now for parents to take a proactive role in protecting their child's safety and online reputation. So please contact Xander Business Group to see what they can do for you. They can be reached at 760-865-9614. That's 760-865-9614. Or by emailing info at xanderbusinessgroup.com. And Xander is spelled X-A-N-D-E-R, xanderbusinessgroup.com. I want to give a shout-out also today to a group that's been very supportive of this show, and we are supportive of them. They are the Conservative Libertarian Fiction Alliance, and you can find them on Facebook. So if you go to Facebook and you search for the Conservative Libertarian Fiction Alliance, you're going to find these guys. And what they do is they support conservatives and libertarians and other people who actually think about stuff and support their efforts to create fiction and build an arts culture. That's what we're trying to do here. We emphasize theater and other types of performance. Well, they do too. So please check out the Conservative Libertarian Fiction Alliance, and I'm going to try and have one of their representatives on the show very soon. And before we go into the topic today, which has gotten a lot of interest on Facebook, we had a number of people like the post that I put out there. Because, as you know, I put out a post every week and send it out to a number of conservative and Tea Party and party from New York, not Boston, Tea Party groups and other groups that might be interested in what Stage Right has to offer, and that is theater groups as well. And this time today, I got quite a few comments and likes on the subject of today, which is David Mamet. Before we get to David Mamet, though, I do want to talk about something that I witnessed last week, and that was I saw a presentation. Now, not all presentations, of course, you know this, are theater pieces. However, I believe that any kind of presentation, education, any kind of something like that that you see at a conference, let's say, and that's where I was. I was at a little conference. That is performance, right? It's going to have the elements of performance, right? The interplay with an audience, for example, right? The rehearsal. So there's many reasons why just giving a presentation, teaching a class, and so on, is performance. But I was at one last week, and it was a presentation about diversity and, in particular, the various generational groups that are in the workforce today. Now, you've heard about these things, right? The traditionalists, the boomers, the Gen Xers, the millennials, and they've got all these names. Now, I have to tell you, I think this is all a bunch of nonsense, and I do not think that people born in a certain year, oh, I was born in this year, that makes me a millennial, therefore I'm definitely going to be like this. I mean, there's so many other factors. And you know, the people who present this admit that there are other factors, and yet they go on and present this stuff. Anyway, this one was different because what this person did, and I'm not naming names, but what she did is she dresses as different characters, one from each generation, one of the four generations. So she dresses up kind of like a schoolmarm for the traditionalists. She dresses up like a hippie for the boomers. And God knows, if you looked at the percentage of the population that actually were hippies, you would find that there were a very small percentage were actually hippies. But the boomers are represented by hippies. Okay. I'm a boomer. God knows I was never a hippie. I don't have the hair for it, I can tell you that. And then the millennials dressed as, you know, kind of this punky, I don't know about punky, but, you know, preppy maybe, business kind of person. And then this, like, valley girl although those were the millennials. The Gen Xers were the ones with the business suit. Whatever. It was a performance. All it was. It was not interactive at all. All it was her giving a performance, and we're supposed to soak this in. So it was kind of like a little play. All right. And this is something she wrote herself, presents, and performs. Okay. Within the conversation, we heard about Watergate. We heard about other Nixon things related to Richard Nixon, okay? We heard about Irangate. You know, that's something associated with Ronald Reagan. Okay? We heard about a president who for 8 years could not pronounce nuclear, okay? Do you see a pattern here? Do you see the understood pattern of theatrical performance, even something on a small scale like this, okay? A paid speaker doing a performance. We didn't hear anything about Clinton and Monica. You know, we heard about how the president, you know, the office of the president was reduced because of things like Watergate and Irangate. What we didn't hear, though, was Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. You know, I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. Well, that's a nice dress. Give me that cigar, baby. Okay, we didn't hear any of that. We didn't hear about any of the philanderings of John F. Kennedy. We will go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. And speaking of hard, come here, Marilyn. So we didn't hear any of that. We didn't hear about – we heard about the mispronunciation of nuclear. We didn't hear about the mispronunciation of corpsman. You know, corpsman. Corpsman. You know that Obama said that, right? Corpsman. We didn't hear a thing about that. Didn't hear anything about the fact that Obama thought there were 57 states. Nothing about that. No, we heard Watergate, Irangate, and nuclear's pronunciation. What did Bush say? Nuclear? I think. Who cares? Okay? We know what he was talking about. I don't know what a corpsman is. Sounds like somebody who's dead. Okay. So the mindset is alive and well in that, even in the presentations, and of course this person is an academician, a teacher, so of course her examples are going to be all about things that are attacking the right, okay? Attacking conservatives, Republicans. Yeah, we all had our issues with Nixon. Yes, we all had our issues with George W. Bush. But at least be a little fair when you roll out the attacks. Okay? It's about the choices people make when they want to present. It's about the choices people make when they write a play, when they put on a show. It's all filtered by the mindset. And we here at Stage Right are determined to out the mindset. Although I wonder if they really need to be outed. Everybody knows it's there. But to not only call attention to it, but to allow our mindset to join the stage with these people who are dressing up and putting on performances that are ostensibly about generational differences, but are really about her performing. All right, so I can get off my soapbox now and start talking about David Mamet, our brother, our conservative brother. Yes, I am working to try and get him and some David Mamet scholars on this show. Yes, I am failing at this moment, but you never know what tomorrow brings. That's what I always say. Well, I said it now anyway. All right. So first, I want to apologize for last week's sound quality. It was sucky. I know. There are people who braved through that show, but we had terrible technical difficulties. We didn't come off well on the microphone. I'm hoping that today is much better, and I'm working to get those technical difficulties fixed. So last week we were talking about, in case you didn't hear because A, you didn't listen to the archive, or B, you couldn't hear this show. We were talking about David Mamet. David Mamet is a major American playwright, probably, arguably, the most important working American playwright today. Yes, you heard that, Tony Kushner. Mamet is much more important. Been around for, 40 years or more. I was doing David Mamet plays as an actor in college. I went to the college in the early 80s. So Mamet's been around, I think. I don't think the first play I ever was in was a David Mamet piece, but it wasn't long after that I was in American Buffalo. Yeah, believe it or not, if you looked at me, you wouldn't believe I played Teach in American Buffalo. And Mamet continues to be strong today and important. But in 2008, this once certified liberal came out of the closet with an article in the Village Voice entitled "Why I Am No Longer a Brain Dead Liberal." We read some of it last week. But here, I want to read this. If I repeated this from last week, it's for two reasons. One, it didn't come out well. And two, I think it bears repeating. He says in this article, "I took the liberal view for many decades, but I believe I have changed my mind. As a child of the 60s, I accepted as an article of faith that government is corrupt, that business is exploitative, and that people are generally good at heart. These cherished precepts had, over the years, become ingrained as increasingly impracticable prejudices. Why do I say impractical? Because although I still held these beliefs, I no longer applied them in my life." A little later on, he says, "In my life, a brief review revealed everything was not always wrong, and neither was nor is always wrong in the community in which I live or in my country. Further, it was not always wrong in previous communities in which I lived and among the various and mobile classes of which I was at various times a part. And I wondered, how could I have spent decades thinking that I thought everything was always wrong at the same time that I thought that people were basically good at heart? Which was it? I began to question what I actually thought and found that I do not think that people are basically good at heart. Indeed, that view of human nature has both prompted and informed my writing for the last 40 years. I think that people in circumstances of stress can behave like swine, and that this, indeed, is not only a fit subject, but the only subject of drama. Well, we could debate whether this is the only subject of drama, people under stress acting like swine. But if you look at the David Mamet pieces over the years, Oleana, we played a clip from Oleana last week about the young girl who denies a professor of tenure because of what she claims is harassment, either in a few offhanded things he said to her or actually touching her, but not in an inappropriate way. Well, at least the way we used to think of it, inappropriate way. Now if you touch a young lady on the shoulder, you're raping her. So I am not diminishing or belittling the horror of rape. Okay, I am making a point. Thank you. So this, he says, is the only fit subject for drama, and I'd like to apply that as we go on with this module of David Mamet, because we're going to be talking about Mamet for weeks now. Whether this is truly the fit model for drama, dramaturgy, and playwriting. Okay, let me. So there are some of the basic ideas that he says. Not everything was terrible, and of course, the liberal worldview, the left worldview, is that things are terrible. When you see in David Mamet's plays, I'm assuming, I'm extrapolating from what he says here, that when you see things that are terrible, it's because, not because it is intrinsically terrible due to our capitalism or our white males, it's because there are some very specific things that are making people stressed, and when people universally are stressed, they act, as he says, like swine. Okay. I'm also going to replace something that I played last week, again, that I don't know carried over well on the air because of our difficulties. So let me play this. It's only 2 minutes, and it's Mamet in an interview with the Wall Street Journal talking about recognition symbols and groupthink. And then we'll move on to his book. So let's listen to David Mamet talking about
to arrive at a conclusion. And that's how an argument could take place, because, of course, all people argue. And that's what a democracy is. When people stop arguing, what you have is a dictatorship. So I started trying to apply that to my daily life and realized that most of what I thought was political thought was just the reiteration of recognition symbols. Right? So if one looks at, because I don't think it happens on the right, but when you look at the left, most of what passes for discourse is recognition symbols. Do we agree? Are you as part of my tribe? Nothing wrong with that, but it's just not. It's not. I realize it's not the basis for a life lived according to political principles. It's not going to get you anywhere.
So a recognition symbol, just to make sure I follow you. I drive a Prius.
Yeah.
And what I'm doing is conveying something about what tribe I belong to by choosing that brand or by choosing an environmentally conscious.
Well,
is that the sort of thing you mean?
Sure, of course.
Okay.
But also, for example, I was talking to somebody about the movie I was going to do, and I said, I was thinking of John Boyd. They said, oh, John Boyd, he's crazy. So, I mean, I happen to know John Boyd. He's a friend of mine. He's certainly not crazy, and neither is his thought crazy. So that's an exchange. It's
right.
An interrogation.
Right.
Instead, it's like,
in other words, John Boyd is conservative. That's what they really mean.
Do we agree that John Boyd's crazy? I was giving a lecture in New York about political thinking very early on in my conversion, and one woman said, wait a second. Do you believe that the Earth is growing warmer? And I thought, my God, that's fascinating, right? What I'm looking at is not a request for information or the desire to engage in an exchange of views or even an argument. What I'm looking at is a cultural interrogation. Mm-hmm. Are you part of my tribe or not? Because if you're part of my tribe, we're fine. But if you're not part of my tribe, we can no longer talk to each other anymore.
It reminds me of the time I was at services for a Jewish holiday, and before the services began, I was overhearing, unfortunately, some women talking about Sarah Palin. And the response, one of them was, oh, and she had this kind of a voice. She says, oh, Sarah Palin, she has no brains. And I thought to myself, what an enlightened opinion. You know, and the other woman, of course, The two of them together, you couldn't get a good checker game going with the two of them. And they are there saying that Sarah Palin has no brains. Based on what? Nobody knows. It didn't matter. As David Mamet just said, they were agreeing to be part of the tribe of liberal thought, which does not allow for any other kinds of thought to creep in. You must be put yourself in this kind of a box, and that's how you go from day to day when you move from place to place in your life. David Mamet had a book, 2011, called The Secret Knowledge on the dismantling of American culture. He says, this is a quote from the book cover, says, "The struggle of the left to rationalize its positions is an intolerable Sisyphean," you know, the myth of Sisyphus who rolled the boulder up almost to the top of a hill only to have the boulder come rolling back down, and that's what he was eternally damned to do. Sisyphean burden. You'll get it. You know what I'm talking about. As I speak as a reformed liberal. So this book came out, as I said, 2011, and it is a book that one should have in one's collection, or at least be read, because this is a former liberal talking, but he is not a former liberal politician. You know, one of those guys who switches from Democrat to Republican or Republican to Democrat, which, when you think about it, is there really much of a difference between these two brands? Which is why you're hearing more and more people say, I am neither. I am what I am. I am what I believe. I don't necessarily identify myself as a Republican. I identify myself as a conservative. So if somebody who's a Democrat had a good conservative idea, I would support it. Of course, that's kind of like waiting for the Messiah. So this probably is not going to happen. Anyway, it's published by Penguin Books. I'm going through it now. In some ways it's not an easy read because Mamet is a deep thinker, unlike many of the others who are going to spew nonsense at you and their recognition symbols. Mamet actually thinks about things, and he's very philosophical, and he's very well-read. So we're going to be going through his book a number of times, but let me read you a couple of excerpts from The Secret Knowledge, on the dismantling of the American culture. He says at one point early on, he says, as I began reading and thinking about politics, I saw to my horror how easily people could also assemble themselves into a mob, which would either attract or be called into being by those who profited from the surrender of reason and liberty, and that these people are called politicians. My question then was, that as we cannot live without government, how must we deal with those who will be inclined to abuse it, the politicians and their manipulators? The answer to that question, I realized, was attempted in the U.S. Constitution, a document based not upon the philosophic assumptions that people are basically good, but on the tragic confession of the opposite view. And so we hear this all the time, right, from the liberals. They think people are basically good. They even sometimes concede that those who think as we do, audience, us conservatives, are decent people. We're just so wrong about things. Those on the right, we have a slightly different take on the left. Our take, at least my take, is these are not basically decent people. These are people who are both wrong and not so decent. But we have to, as you're hearing this, and if you know Mamet stuff, really start thinking about, has this always been there? Or is this something he is playing with now that he has come to an epiphany about politics and the way to think? So, you know, we really need to examine, and we will on this show, we really need to examine the pre-2008 Mamet and the post-2008 Mamet. Now, the pre-2008 Mamet is going to be comprised of so many important plays. Did he have this in him all along? And yet, if he did, why would he champion the left when he wasn't believing any of this? Why did it happen to come out later in his life? He was in his 60s, after all, when he realized that he's not a liberal. Okay. Let's go on. I examined my liberalism and found it like an addiction to roulette. Isn't this wonderful? Here, though the odds are plain and the certainty of loss apparent to anyone with a knowledge of arithmetic, the addict, failing time and again, is convinced he yet is graced with the power to contravene natural laws. The roulette addict, when he inevitably comes to grief, does not examine either the nature of roulette or of his delusion, but retires to develop a new system and to scheme for more funds. The great wickedness of liberalism, I saw, was that those who devised to ever new state utopias, whether crooks or fools, set out to bankrupt and restrict not themselves, but others. I read this, and my epiphany happened, not because I haven't always believed this, but maybe it wasn't an epiphany then, but it was this thrill that there is somebody in the arts, and not just somebody out there on the periphery or unknown who's, you know, maybe like me, who's just trying to peck away at this left-wing hegemony. This is a man who is an important and an enduring, well, we shall see if the left gets to write history, enduring part of American artistry, of the American arts and of theater in particular. You know, he's also done like cartoons. He's also written essays. He's written this book. He's a prolific writer and thinker, and he's telling us this stuff, and I think it's rather powerful. He calls liberalism wickedness, or at least there is a wickedness in it. And this whole idea about natural law, contravening natural law. If I've said one thing very often in my life as an adult, it is that the left does not believe in something called human nature. They go against human nature. They don't understand human nature, or they want to ignore human nature. So we see this time and time again in the utopias, if you will, that they build in their minds that never work. Mr. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, they never work. Socialism never works. Okay? But they're the utopian dream. Okay, let me continue. I'm running out of time here. We're going to pick this up next week. This is like a great lecture series on, I don't know if it's great, but it's a lecture series on David Mamet. Okay, more on his what he says here. He says, I saw that I had been living in a state of ignorance, accepting an unexamined delusion and calling it compassion. But that there were those brave enough to work their way through the prevailing slogans of their time and reason toward a consistent, practicable understanding of human relations. To these, politics was not the manipulation of the ignorant and undecided, but the dedication to the defense and implementation of just first principles. For example, those of the United States Constitution. Can you believe here is a man who is in the arts and is an important member of the arts talking about the need to follow the first, as he puts it, principles as defined in the Constitution? He's not out to change the Constitution. He's out to defend the Constitution. And we don't have a lot of people defending it. Well, we don't have a lot of people in the arts defending it, except when it means something to them. Then they're defending the Constitution. We will pick this up next week I've said that I, as audiences pick up here, I'm going to move this show to an hour. I think I'm going to do that, but that's going to have to take just a few more weeks. We may not be on the air next week, ladies and gentlemen, but I will let you know on Facebook, and I will be sure to tell you when I will be back on the air, which would only be a week, but I think we may not be able to make the 1:30 time next week. Well, this is Rocky Benesher saying, read your David Mamet. Go out and get the secret knowledge. Go get it from the library. Get it from e-books. However you got to get it, get it. We'll see you next week. And remember, we are now exiting. Stage right.